It's very difficult to understand today's first reading unless we know something about the central debate that racked the early church. And that debate centered around the question of whether this new faith in Christ was the fulfillment of Judaism only, or if it was open to non-Jews, to Gentiles. Was faith in Jesus something to be universal, or was it something very particular to the chosen people of Israel? Peter saw it as the fulfillment of Judaism, and that's why he insists on circumcision for Gentiles. Paul, as the great apostle to the Gentiles, saw a broader vision, that this Jesus Christ came for every person, that his love and his invitation to salvation was truly universal. And so today's first reading is part of that whole discussion and that debate. It's eventually resolved at the first general church council in Jerusalem when they pray over this question, talk about it, and come to the conclusion that Paul is right, that indeed this Christian faith is universal for all people. It takes a lot of humility on the part of Peter, I think, because Peter was with Jesus, Paul wasn't. And yet Peter cedes the question and surrenders to that authority of the church and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the church came to be known as Catholic, a Greek word that literally means universal for all people. And so the Catholic Church is truly the most universal, most acculturated, most international institution in the history of the world. When you think about it, there's millions of Catholics globally at this very moment celebrating this same Eucharist in hundreds of different languages, in every possible cultural context, living the faith differently in some respects, and yet all of us are bound together in the commonality of belonging to the church. We take it for granted that the church is open to everyone. 2,000 years ago, that was a radical proposition, because every religion was connected to nation and race. Christ breaks through all of those barriers and invites all people into a new relationship with the Father. And that brings us to the gospel, which really brings us to the very heart of the good news of what Jesus Christ is all about. It's interesting, when I talk to people about why they don't go to Mass, many of them will say, I don't need to be at Mass in order to be a good person. When you think about it, that statement reduces our faith to a question of ethics, that it's all about what we do. And my response is always, but that isn't why we go to Mass. We can all be good people without coming here. It's not fundamentally about what we do. Our faith is more profoundly about who we are, and then what we do flows out of who we are. And today's gospel reminds us of that amazing desire on the part of the Blessed Trinity to come and dwell with us. The Catechism calls that sanctifying grace. And so Jesus says, whoever loves me will keep my commandments, and we will come to that person, and we will make our abode with that person. We will live within that person. We, plurality, meaning Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is the astonishing good news of our faith. When you ask people, where is God? They instinctively point up, right? And rightfully so, because God is beyond us. God transcends us. God is bigger than anything we can imagine or conceive. And yet the astonishing revelation of Jesus is that now also God is within us. So when someone asks us, where is God, we have to point up. We also have to point around at each other. And perhaps even more difficult, point at ourselves. This conviction of sanctifying grace is what can heal the world. Because so much of what is wrong with our human society and wrong with us is our refusal to allow the Lord to love us and transform us. And so each one of us, in a sense, is afflicted with a form of self-loathing. I think for most of us, our greatest enemy is the one that looks at us in the mirror, right? because only I have to live with me 24/7. And so I know my sins, I know my failings, I know what's wrong with me more profoundly than anyone else. And so that challenge to allow the Lord to love us and to find ourselves lovable in the Lord is what can heal us and allow us to become those beautiful children of God that God dreams us to be and has called us to be. That sanctifying grace, that indwelling of the Trinity, is what the sacraments accomplish for us. And so beginning in baptism, continuing every time we are nourished with the Eucharist, renewed every time we come out of confession, confirmed in the sacrament of confirmation, we are called to live that mystical path of union with the Blessed Trinity in this life, through the sacraments and through prayer. When we look at our life in that astonishing prism, it becomes a holy adventure, because every day, every moment becomes an opportunity for us to fall ever more deeply in love with the Lord, to be drawn ever more profoundly into the recesses of his heart. And so when we think of the heart of God, it must be this palace of infinite rooms. And God keeps drawing us further and further in, but only if we let him. He will only take us as far as we allow him to take us, because he always respects our human freedom. The saints struggled to put that experience into words and ultimately failed, but still put it beautifully. St. John Chrysostom said that falling in love with God is like falling into this ocean of light that has no bottom. Teresa of Avila compared it to this castle in which you are led ever more deeply to the very center, the very heart of God. Catherine of Siena said it's allowing this unquenchable fire into our life, which seems to kill us, and yet paradoxically is precisely what brings us to life and to God. And so our religion, first and foremost, is not about what we do. It's not simply a question of morality or of ethics, but it begins profoundly with a new relationship, that each one of us is an indwelling, a home of the Blessed Trinity in this world. Imagine if every person lived out that conviction with a profound self-awareness. This world would be a different place. Think of all the things that would go away: violence, poverty, hatred, discrimination, lack of respect for life. Because when we know who we are, then we know how to act. And so the social teaching of the church, all of our moral teachings on marriage, family, sexuality, how we live as community, how we serve the poor, how to live a life of virtue, all that flows from the beautiful conviction that we are adopted children of the Father. That what Jesus is by nature, he has generously shared with us. And so through the sacraments, we are brought into the very life of the Trinity. Can we be good people without this? Yes. Can we be an indwelling of the Blessed Trinity without this? No. And that is the good news for us on this sixth Sunday of Easter. As we behold that glorious vision in the second reading, the glorious vision of the kingdom of heaven. Teresa of Avila said that for those on their way to heaven, all the way to heaven is heaven. And so we know where we're going, and we know who lives inside of us. And we are sent forth to live out that glorious freedom of the children of God and to draw others into that life, that universal call to holiness that is issued forth from the heart of Christ and echoes even to us in this place, so many years later on the other side of the world. For all of that, we give thanks and praise.